Jesus. Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, save us from this age. Lord, even make us those that would come forward to God day by day to find grace. That we today would be a group of people in whom you could end this age. Lord, come. Lord, come back. Make us the generation that brings you back. Before we begin the message, I'd like to just remind you that this afternoon we will have a question and response time. And if you have questions that come from the messages that you would like to get a response to those questions, we would invite you, encourage you, to write those questions down on a piece of paper, and then you could put that paper here in the box. We'd like you to do that after the meeting this morning so that we would have time to look at the questions and consider how we may respond to them. So just as a reminder, if you have a question, you can put it here in the box after the meetings this morning. Well, let us turn to message two, to the outline, and I'd like us to read the title for the message. Let's read it together. The faith of Noah. Okay, the faith of Noah. Now let's read Roman numeral 1 together. By the time of Noah, Satan had corrupted man to the uttermost. God had determined, he created. So last night, we had a very good message to make it clear to us concerning the days of Noah, concerning the age at the time of Noah. And it's significant that Jesus told us that at the time of his return, the situation on the earth will be just as the days of Noah. So don't think that the story of Noah has nothing to do with you. Actually, it has a lot to do with that. And from the story of Noah, we can see a wonderful picture of not only what the situation of the age in which we live in will be, but also of God's way for his people to find salvation. So this story of Noah is very applicable. I would tell you, stay awake. Listen. This is not just some children's story for you to hear, but there's a lot in this story for us to learn. To learn about God, to learn about God's way for us today. And there's two things that are necessary for us to see regarding the days of Noah. You know, last night's word was very good because, first of all, we have to be very clear that the condition of man at the time of Noah was utterly corrupted, utterly polluted. So at the time of the days of Noah, let me write here, the days of Noah. The description at that time is that man had become flesh. That's not a positive term. Man had become flesh. Man's imagination, thought in his heart, was only evil continually. Evil continually. Man had fallen into fornication. And that fornication was gross, even to the extent that there would be illegal marriages, unions between the fallen angels and the daughters of men. That is gross. Then not only that, but in Jude, we see that the days of Noah were also likened to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, those illegal unions between the fallen angels and the daughters of men. The Bible says it's just like the illegal unions at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. What were those illegal unions? That was the union between male and male and female and female. And it was rightly called sodomy. Today, the enemy has come in to drug people, to befuddle people, to try to make people think it's okay to have a union between a male and a male and a female and a female. So the term of sodomy has been changed to homosexuals, and now they change it to another word called gay. You know what gay means? Gay means happy. So they don't want you to call them sodomites. They want you to call them gay or happy. But they're not gay or happy. They're sodomites. They're people that are engaged in illegal unions between male and male, female and female. Brothers and sisters, I'm not full of hate. I'm just telling you the truth. And I want to speak this way because we need to be clear that the situation at the days of Noah were utterly evil, utterly corrupted, and utterly polluted. And what was God's verdict? What was God's judgment? It was to condemn that age. To condemn that age. And we will see in the two messages this morning, not only was God condemning that age, He wanted to change that age. So today, may the Lord touch us concerning the age that we are living in. It's just like the days of Noah. You know, I touched the very dark, negative things about the days of Noah. But Jesus in the Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, also told us at the same time in the days of Noah, at the same time these evil things were taking place on the earth. Oh, not only was there flesh, evil, fornication, it was also violence. I know I'm not writing big enough, I'm sorry, but there was violence. Does that not describe the age that we live in today? Is it not full of violence? Is it not full of fornication? The illegal unions and illegal marriages between male and male, female and female? Is it not full of flesh and the lust of the flesh? This really aptly describes your age. But also, the Lord Jesus said that the days of Noah also were full of the people just eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage. In other words, they had no idea that God had condemned that age and that a judgment was coming, and they didn't care. All they cared about was their living. You know, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, they are necessities of life. We love God, and even though we love God, we still have our daily necessities. We still need to eat. We still need to drink. We still need to get married. And then our children need to get married. These are necessities of human life. But the enemy has a way to come in and to make those necessities something that usurps you, that occupies you, that you give your whole being to these things. And I'd like to tell you that today, in this age, not only do you need to be kept separated from the evil, gross things of this age, but you also need to be kept to be separated from being usurped by the necessity of this age. You need to be saved from education. You need to get an education. You need to get a job, but you need to be saved from being usurped by your education, from being usurped by your job, from being usurped by a marriage. These things can usurp you. They can take hold of you where you live for them, and God no longer has the first place in your life. And brothers and sisters, I want to repeat this. You have to see God has already condemned your age. Don't give your life for things in this age. Take care of the necessities, but don't give your life for the things of this age. Because the result of all the things of this age, it will be judged. It will end up in the lake of fire. Don't pour out your life to gain things of this age, but rather give your life. We'll see. Give your life to build the ark. Give your life to Christ and the church. Make the ark the center of your life and your work. Make the church the center of your living and of your work. May your education be for the church. May your marriage be for the church. May the house that you buy be for the church. May your food that you eat and your drink be for the church. Make everything in your living for the church. Well, we need to see this age. We need to see it's condemned. And we need to be those not building up anything for ourselves in this age. But there's another reason why we need to see this age. And this relates to very much this morning's message. When you read Genesis, and as our brother Dave pointed out last night, when God created man, he said, "This is very good." Yet, by the time you come to Genesis chapter 6, God looks at the situation on the earth and he declares man has become flesh. And he says, "I will no longer strive with my spirit against man who has become flesh." And eventually it grieved God. It grieved God, and God repented that he had made man. Do you want to be such a man on the earth that when God looks at you, he would grieve and repent that he had made man? Well, man has fallen. And this is recorded very clearly in the Bible, that man who was made for God's purpose, man who there on the day he was created, in God's eyes, was very good. The Bible shows us in a very clear way that man has fallen. And this fall of man was in four steps or four stages, where Adam disobeyed God. Then after Adam, Cain took his own way. And then now at the days of Noah, this is the third fall, the third step of man's fall. Man had turned utterly from God to his flesh, living just for the desire, the pleasures his flesh. Well, in Genesis 6, you see the flesh, you see grace, and you see righteousness. And we need to have the background, the dark background, to show the fall of man, not for the sake of you seeing how fallen man is, but for the sake of you to see what God's grace is. To see that no matter how fallen man has become, God's grace comes. And God's grace can restore man back to God's original intention. So this morning, see the age. See it's condemned. In your heart, don't have anything in this age that you're living for, that you're building up. And this morning, see the grace. See the grace of God. See that it's by God's grace that you, yes, you, I mean you. Who am I talking about this morning? You. Sometimes you read about Noah and you think, "My, what a spiritual giant." But this morning, you'll see Noah was no spiritual giant. But it was only by grace. By grace, Noah was saved from the flesh. And by grace, Noah was able to live a righteous life in a corrupted, perverted, evil, crooked generation. And brothers and sisters, we're no different. Today for us, it's only by grace. It's only by God's grace. So this morning, may the Lord open our eyes that we would see what God's grace can do for fallen man. You know, we spoke about this age being condemned. We can charge you, don't love this age. That we all know. We all love this age. We all love some things in this age. So what can turn us from loving the things in this age? Only God's grace. Will you open this morning to God's grace? So let us now read Roman numeral 2 together. It appeared that God was defeated. The victory over his enemy and to change the age. This is wonderful. I'd like to read again the first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 6. And when men began to multiply on the surface of the ground and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives for themselves from all whom they chose. And Jehovah said, My spirit will not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh. So his days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they gave birth to children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Pay attention to the next 4 verses. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him. That means Jehovah. It grieved him in his heart. At that point, Satan thought he had won a victory. 7. And Jehovah said, I will blot out the man whom I have created from the surface of the ground, from man to beast, to creeping things, to the birds of heaven, for I repent that I have made them. Then verse 8. But Noah. Now whatever your name is, say it after but. But Craig found favor in the sight of Jehovah. Don't miss these little words. But Noah. The situation on the earth was such that it looked like it appeared that God had been defeated, that he was not going to get what he wanted with man, that Satan had won a victory. Yet, in verse 8, it says, But Noah. That means, but there was one man. That's all it took. Just one man on the earth. And because of that one man, because of that one man who found grace, the entire situation on the earth was turned. And the age was changed. All God needs is one man. You know, today we'll see that actually God wants a corporate man. But practically, right now, it starts with you. Will you be that one man? Don't worry about the one on your left, your right, behind you, in front of you. Right now, before God, are you willing to say, Lord, I want to be that one man, that regardless of the situation of the age, regardless of the condition of the church, I would be that man on the earth today who would find grace through whom you can change the whole situation. That's what happened. Through one man, things were turned around. Things were changed. And God was able to bring in a new age. I don't know about you, but when I hear this, when I see this, I can't sit there going, got it, got that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's simple, Something in me says, Lord, make me that man. Lord, I want to be that man. May we have such a response this morning, so that God would have a way to carry out His original purpose with man, to gain the victory over his enemy and to change the age. That's what happens when men on the earth find grace. God gets to carry out His original purpose. He gains the victory over His enemy, and with these ones, He changed the age. Let's read A together. When Satan has done his best to damage the situation, hallelujah. When Satan's done his best, after he's done his best, there's always been some on the earth who have found grace in the eyes of God to become the ones to turn the age. Noah was such a one. Daniel was such a one. We need to realize, at the bottom of man's fall, even at the bottom of your fall, even at the bottom of your failure, you have to remember, there's a but. But don't listen to the enemy. It's not too late. It's not too late. Today, it's not too late. I don't care where you are. I don't care how fallen you may be. I don't care how big your failure was. The Bible says there's a but. You have to believe, but. Yes, I failed. Yes, I fell. But today there's a but you can find grace. So B, let's read B together. Grace is God Himself, the presence of God, enjoyed by us to be everything to us and to do everything in us, through us, and for us. Grace is God coming to us. Very good. Well, while we go through this point, brothers on the front row here, on this section, look up John 1:14. You brothers, up to this brother, John 1:16. You brothers, you look up John 1:17. These three brothers here, look up 1 Corinthians 15:10. Okay? And then you four brothers, you look up 2 Timothy 4:22. Okay? But Noah found grace. What is grace? Grace is not merely a gift from God. Grace is not merely His unmerited favor on us. Eventually, we have to see the Bible is very clear. What is grace? Grace is God Himself coming to us in Christ as the Spirit to be everything to us and to do everything in us. This is grace. So grace is the presence of God enjoyed by us to be everything to us and to do everything in us, through us, and for us. So we're not asking you in yourself, by yourself, to stand up against this age. What we're presenting to you is there is grace. Come and get the grace. That's God Himself. Come to God's presence. And God will be everything to you, and God will do everything in you, through you, and for you. So brothers, stand up with a strong spirit. Read John 1:14. And tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. Okay, declare the last part from full of. Ready? Full of grace and reality. Good. This is speaking about, you can sit down. This is speaking about Christ. He's God who became a man. And this one, He's full of grace and reality. He's full of grace. So where do you find grace? In Christ. Because He's full of grace. You brothers, read John 1:16. Go, stand and read it. For of His fullness we have all received, and what? Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Very good. Thank you, brother. That phrase in Greek, grace upon grace, means like wave after wave. That means grace is not just there one time, but grace is coming again and again and again. You don't come to God one time and receive a one-time dose of grace. You got your one-time dose of grace. That's it. Don't come back to me. No. But rather, God wants to give us grace upon grace. How would you like to go to the beach to see the waves, and you get there and there's one wave? The wave comes. You see it. Wow, what a wave. And then you stand there and there's no more waves. Not so enjoyable, right? Well, our God, as grace, He's wave after wave of grace. Don't come to the beach and see one wave and then leave. Stay, enjoy the waves. Don't come to God one time. Oh, I came to God once in my life. I got the grace. That was awesome. And I'm just going to reflect and remember that one time I enjoyed grace. No, come to God day by day. Grace upon grace. Okay, brothers, 1:17.
For the law was given through Moses. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ.
Oh, grace and reality came through who?
Jesus Christ.
Through who?
Jesus Christ.
If you want grace and reality, who do you come to? Jesus Christ. Very good. Okay, then brothers, 1 Corinthians 15:10.
By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace unto me will not turn out to be in vain. But on the contrary, I labor more abundantly than all of them. Yes,
not I, but the grace
of God which is in me.
Yes, not I, but the grace of God. How could Noah live such a life? Not by himself, but by the grace. Then, brothers, 2 Timothy 4:22. Again, brothers, strong. Grace be with you. Who's in your spirit? And what's there with the Lord? Grace. If you want to find grace, who is the Lord? Where is He? In your spirit. Very good. Thank you, brothers. So now, let's all read point C. Noah was able to be what he was. Very good. Oh, Noah was able to be what he was because. Not because he was strong. Not because he was a spiritual giant. But rather, because he found grace. Where was grace? In the eyes of the Lord. Because Noah found grace, it was easy for him to walk with God. Let's all turn to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And I'd like us to read that together. Okay. Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. What do you have to do here? Come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. Okay, very simple explanation. Today, the throne of grace is located in your spirit. Because the one who is on the throne is the one who is in your spirit. Grace is in your spirit. So in the previous point, grace is God coming to us. That's right. You have to realize God in Christ has come to you. And he's in you as the Spirit in your spirit. How close is that? That's very close. Yes, on God's side, he comes to us. But on our side, we need to come to him. God comes to us and we come to him. So brothers and sisters, to find grace, don't be passive. Don't say, well, I've been sitting here at my desk for a week waiting for the grace to come. I'd like to tell you, grace on God's side has already come because he's already in your spirit. On your side, you need to come forward. Come forward. Come forward to the throne of grace. Come forward daily to the Lord who is the grace in your spirit. And according to Hebrews 4:16, when you come forward to the throne of grace in your spirit, you receive mercy and you find grace for timely help. Do you not think Noah needed help to live in his age? Do you not need help to live in the age that you live in? It's there in your spirit. The help, the grace is there. But you and I, we need to come forward to it. We need to come and receive it. So I have a practical word. You know, throughout this message, I'm going to give you some practical words. I'm going to bother you today, okay? About your living. About your living. You know, to find grace, it's not only to show up on the Lord's Day morning to the Lord's table meeting. That's good, but don't make that the only time you find grace. Nor is it just to go to a small group meeting once a week. Nor is it just to go to the Bible study on your campus once a week. But actually, day by day, we need to find grace. That means day by day, we need to come forward to the Lord. And one practice that we all need to build up is a daily morning revival. What does that mean? Well, it's very clear, right? Morning means it takes place when? In the morning, right? Not in the afternoon or the evening, but in the morning, when you wake up, the first thing you should realize is, I've woken up. I'm in the midst of an age that is flesh, evil, full of fornication, full of violence. I need grace to live in this age. I'm going to come forward right now. I'm going to exercise my spirit right now to contact the Lord. And when you contact the Lord, he revives you. He energizes you. He supplies you to live a righteous life in this age. So brothers and sisters, I'd like to check with you one by one. Are you finding grace every morning? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you, but I'd like to. I would like to. I'd like to ask you every morning when you wake up, what do you do when you wake up? Where does your face go when you wake up? You know, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You stand up, brother. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord is great. You need to spend time in His face, looking in His eyes. You know, when you look in someone's eyes, something of them gets infused. You know, you don't do morning revival. I hope you don't do morning revival. You know why I say do morning revival? Because it becomes a duty. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, for me, I'm a Christian. That means when I wake up in the morning, I don't sleep in. I have to get out of bed and I have to do morning revival. And I do my routine. Oh, Lord Jesus, so many times. Pray, read a verse. Okay, I did it. Check the box. No. You don't do morning revival. You have morning revival. That means you have a time in the Lord's face. Do you understand the difference? Don't be religious about the morning time. Have morning revival. Have time with the Lord. Good morning, Lord. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, you love me too? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. I really love you, Lord. Thank you for this new day. Lord, you know, this age is really corrupt. I need you, Lord. Right now, I need you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm afraid to step outside without you. I need your presence. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, I hope you would have this time with the Lord every morning. You have to see, you need it. You can't live in this age without the Lord's presence. You know, this age, this man becoming the flesh. In a very simple way, the flesh is the presence of Satan. And grace is the presence of God. The only way you can overcome the presence of Satan is if you have the presence of God. So, brothers and sisters, the morning time, when you wake up, be in the Lord's face. Don't be on Facebook. Don't have FaceTime with your buddy somewhere else. Don't be in your smartphone. It can wait. Have FaceTime with the Lord. Why else did Apple invent FaceTime? But to remind you that you need FaceTime with the Lord. Right? D, let's read D together. Grace enabled Noah to overcome the flesh and to live a righteous life. So it was grace that enabled Noah to overcome the flesh and to live a righteous life. Now let's go on to Roman numeral 3. Let's read that together. Like his great grandfather Enoch. Hey, I'll read this to you. To walk with God is to take him as our center and everything. To do things according to his revelation and leading, and to do everything with Him. You know, a key to living today is to have a life of walking with God. You know, when you walk with someone, this is not a small matter to walk with someone. Brother, stand up, please. What's your name? David. If I'm going to walk with David, that means I have to let David take the lead. And I need to let him be everything for me. What? We're going to go for a walk, okay? I'd like you to walk that way, and I'd like you to stop when you get past the last row, okay? Don't let your Christian life of walking with the Lord be like this. I want to walk with you, Lord. Ooh. Get distracted by something. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord. Keep going. Oh, I like this way. That way looks too difficult. Lord, I'm going to go this way, Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, you're over there. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. But walking with the Lord so good. Good morning, Lord. I love you. Thank you for being grace. Thank you for supplying me with everything. Lord, I just want to stay one with you today. Join with you. Lord, wherever you go, I will go. Oh, Lord, I just love you. Oh, Lord. Oh, how did I get here? How did I get here? What did I pass on the way? I don't know what I passed on the way. I was just with the Lord. I was just enjoying being with Him. He was just leading me, being everything to me. And the things around me weren't bothering me or distracting me. Amen. We need to learn to have such a life of walking with the Lord. Just being in His presence, caring for His presence like this. You know, when you walk with someone, the question is, who's taking the lead? If you're going to walk with me, that means I get to take the lead. Don't say I'm going to walk with you and then try to lead me where you want to go. Well, when you walk with the Lord, who takes the lead? You or the Lord? We need to let the Lord be the one taking the lead. Noah walked with God. Then B, like Noah, we should walk by faith and not by appearance. Now, walking with the Lord is altogether a matter of faith. Not by appearance, but by faith. You know that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by appearance." Don't look at the things around you. Just look at the Lord. One, after Noah received the revelation to build the ark, he immediately believed in the word of God and built the ark. You know, it had never rained on the earth. So God's telling Noah, I'm going to send a flood. Noah's like, what's a flood? He had never seen a flood before because it had never rained before. But he didn't go by appearance. He heard God's word and he believed God's word. So where do we get the believing from? From what we see or from what we hear? We actually get it by listening to God's word. Where does faith come from? Not from yourself, but from hearing God speaking. So believing comes about by listening to the word. So in Romans 10:17, it tells us faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Two, faith is God's divine element transfused and infused into us to be our believing ability. We don't have believing ability, but when we hear God's word, when we spend time in God's presence, something of God gets infused into us to become the believing ability within us. So you often hear people say, oh, I need more faith. My faith needs to be stronger. Actually, forget about it. It's not your faith. It's actually the Lord Himself in you. So you want more faith? Spend more time in God's Word. Spend more time in God's presence. That's how you have more faith. So here's another practical thing I'd like to challenge you about. I asked you about your morning time. Now I'm going to ask you about your Bible reading. Are you spending time every day reading God's Word? And I would say, along with the Bible reading, the reading of the ministry, which helps to unlock the Bible. Are you spending every day in the Word of God? If your faith is not that strong, it's because you're not spending time with the Lord, and because you're not spending time in the Lord's Word. Don't look at me and say, brother, I'm not like you. You're some strong spiritual giant. I am no spiritual giant. Let's be clear about that. And I am not that strong. The only strength I have has come from my spending time with the Lord and spending time in the Lord's Word. The more time I spend with the Lord and in His Word, the stronger the faith in me becomes. Because the source is not from myself, but it's from God. So your Bible reading. I'd like to come back. I really would. Actually, I'd like to come and visit you in your localities. I'd like to come and find you, Brother Jacob, and see, hey, brother, how is your morning time with the Lord? Brother, where are you in your Bible reading? Oh, I'd like to bother you in this way. You know, this is a good kind of bothering. You know, maybe now nobody will invite me to their locality. Or if you see me, you may run out the other door. Amen. But I believe I'm not the real botherer. I believe the Lord is the real botherer. Because He wants you to spend time with Him. And He wants you to listen to Him. So see, Noah believed in God. And as a result became a righteous person. He was right with God, with others, and with himself. Maybe for the sake of time, I'll just conclude in this way. We need to come to the throne of grace. We need to look to the Lord. We need to touch the Lord. We need to hear him, hear his word. And the result is that we will become a righteous person. Right with God, right with others, and right with ourselves. And we will cover more tonight. Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. Noah built the ark, not according to his own imagination, but absolutely according to God's revelation. So we were in Hebrews 4. Now let's go to Hebrews 11 and look at verses 6 and 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. I'll read these to you. But without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. For he who comes forward, again, comes forward to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Don't worry, if you come forward, God will give you grace. God will infuse faith into you. 7. By faith, Noah, having been divinely instructed concerning things not yet seen, and being moved by pious fear, prepared an ark for his salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah, being divinely instructed. So today, how are we divinely instructed? It's through God's word, through the revelation in God's word. Last night we saw that Noah inherited the positive things from his forefathers. He inherited from Abel the matter of the offerings with the blood to come to God. He inherited from Enoch calling on the name of Jehovah. He inherited from Enoch a life of walking with God. Noah inherited these things. He practiced these things. But then God came to Noah and gave him a further revelation of what God wanted man to do. And Noah, he received the revelation, he believed the revelation, and he practiced the revelation. And Noah was willing to go beyond his forefathers. Today, brothers and sisters, some of you have been raised in Christian families. Some of you, those families were in the Lord's recovery in the church life. You've seen things, you've inherited things, you have a rich inheritance. Others came here through other paths where you may not have been raised in a Christian home, but one day someone preached the gospel to you, and you appreciate that person because they brought the gospel to you. Through them, you got saved. That's wonderful. And we should have an appreciation. But we need to be willing when the Lord reveals something to us, when the Lord shows us what is on his heart and what he wants to do, we need to be willing to go on, to even go further than our forefathers, to even go beyond our parents in the practice of the church life. Even to go beyond our spiritual fathers who are being faithful according to what they've seen. But if the Lord reveals to us something further of what he's doing on the earth, we need to receive the revelation, we need to believe the revelation, and we need to practice the revelation. Noah didn't say, well, I heard about this from my forefather Abel and Enoch, but I never heard about them building an ark. I don't think I'm going to do it. No, he believed the revelation and he practiced it. Brothers and sisters, what's needed today is a generation who's willing to go beyond their forefathers in practicing the things that the Lord has revealed to his people. Are you willing? Are you willing to receive this revelation and to practice it, even in the way of going beyond your forefathers? May the Lord gain such on the earth today. Well, let's take a little break from the outline. We'll come back to this. I can't call it a whiteboard. I think it's called a flipboard. Let's see what's going on here. You have the days of Noah. God condemned this age. And God was sending a judgment on this age called the flood. So these are the flood waters. And Noah, well, I'll just write Noah. I'm not going to draw him. Noah was living in this age. Noah needed not only to be saved from the coming judgment. Yes, he needed to be saved from the coming judgment, but not only. He also needed to be saved from the corruption of his age, of his generation. And he needed to be brought into a new age. A new age. It's the same for us today. We not only, brothers and sisters, need to be saved from God's coming judgment on sin and on the world, but we need to presently be saved from our generation, not being corrupted like them. And we also need to have a change in the age. You know, the Bible has promised this, that the Lord is going to change the age, to bring in a new age on the earth. But before the Lord can change the age, he needs some who would have a living and work that would allow him to change the age. So with Noah, what did his living and his work produce that gave God the way to send the judgment, to end the corrupt situation on the earth, and to bring in a new age? What was it that Noah produced? What was it? Say it boldly. The ark. It was the ark. Noah's living and his work was all together to build the ark. What did he do for those 120 years? He was occupied with a living and a work to build the ark. And it was the ark, pay attention to this, it was the ark that not only enabled him to pass through God's judgment, but it was the ark that was his practical salvation from this crooked age. He was too busy living and working to build the ark to be involved with his generation. Same today. What will preserve you? You need to be so busy, brothers and sisters, living and working for the building of the ark. That's what will keep you from being corrupted by this generation. When did the flood come to bring in the new age? Only after the ark was completed. So we'll see at the end of this outline, that ark depicts not only Christ, we all need to be in Christ, but that ark also depicts the church. So today, we not only need to build up Christ in ourselves, Christ not only needs to grow in us and increase in us, but today, Christ is building the church. And he's building the church today through you and through I. You and I, we're the ones through whom Christ is building the church. And if you give yourself to be a person absolutely for Christ and the church, absolutely for the building up of the church, that will preserve you from this age. that will let you pass through God's coming judgment and bring you in to a new age. Why has the Lord not come back yet? Why has the Lord not come back yet? Some think, well, because there's a certain number of souls that need to be saved, and when that number goes ding in the heavens, the last soul gets saved, then God will send, the Lord will come back. But that's not only all. That's not only. The Lord Jesus says, I will build my church. That means before the Lord comes back, the church must be built. Who are the church builders? We are. We are. Now, let me draw the arc for you and be prepared to be, well, just be prepared. You know, Noah was here. God wanted Noah to pass through this, the flood, and God wanted Noah to be here. It was only by the ark. The ark was here, the ark was here, and the ark was here. It was the ark that brought Noah through. When you read about the ark, God gave, now I'm not an artist, okay, so you're going to have to use your imagination to get the full picture. But let me show you the ark that was given. I have to stand this way to try to imagine it. Okay, it was 150 cubits long. It was 50 cubits wide. Okay. And it was 30 cubits high. Okay, not an artist. But that is a picture of the ark. Can you see it? That's what the ark looked like. Okay? You're all saying, where's the cute little boat with the giraffe's head sticking out of the house on the top? Well, that's a fantasy. That's a nursery rhyme picture. That's Disneyland corrupting the word of God. And this ark had one window at the top. And we know it was at the top because the Hebrew word meant noon. So it had one window at the top, a hole for the light to come in. And it had only one door on the side. I don't know where to draw it, but anyway, a door, okay? On the side. And this ark had three levels. That's the ark. Now let us quickly go through the outline and look at the significance of this picture of the ark. Did we read Roman numeral 4? We did, didn't we? Right? So A, the ark was of three stories, the lower, the second, and the third. The three stories of the ark signify the triune God. The Spirit brings us to the Son, and the Son brings us to the Father. When we come to the Father, we are in the third story. That's right. The Spirit comes to us first to sanctify us, to convict us, and then the Spirit brings us to the Son. We receive Him as our Savior. Then the Son brings us to know God the Father. This is a normal experience of the triune God. Okay? Then in point two, we need to enter into the deepest and highest intimacy with our triune God so that He can bring us to the third story to show us His mysteries, secrets, and hidden treasure. You know, I don't have time to read those verses, but I think there's an error here in the verse reference. It should be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, not 2 Corinthians 2:10, right? So it should be 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Telling us that the Spirit of God is researching, searching out the depths of God to reveal these things that have been hidden in God. And who are the ones that the Spirit is able to reveal the deep mysteries that are in God, God the Father? It's those who love God. The more you love God, the closer you come to God, the more time you spend with God, the higher you will go. Which means the more God will reveal to you. You know, it's just the same with us. If I have a 3-story house and I invite you over to my house, when I invite you in, I'm only letting you in on the first floor. Come on in. And all my valuable stuff, I'm not putting it on the first floor. It's going to be on the third floor. That's going to be where I am with my treasures. And then when you come over, and if you keep coming over and you keep spending time with me and we get closer and closer and more intimate together, eventually I might let you up to the second floor. And you can see what's there. But I'm not letting you up to the third floor yet. But then eventually, when you become one of my intimate friends, I will bring you all the way to the third floor. And all my valuable prized treasures, I will be willing to show you. You know, there are many things in God that He wants to reveal to us. But He needs us to come forward, to love Him and be intimate with Him. And step by step, level by level, He will show you something more, reveal something more to you. And I love this verse reference, Exodus 33:11. And Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his companion. You know, God wants to be your companion. He wants to be your intimate friend. Spend time with Him, speaking with Him face to face. B, in the ark, there was only one window towards the heavens, signifying that in the church, God's building, there's only one revelation and only one vision. So in Acts 2:42, the reference there, it says, in the church, they continued in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. There were many apostles, but these apostles had just one teaching. They taught the same thing. They were all under the same light. The same revelation. You know, today, in the New Testament, we have to see, there's just one revelation. And from that one revelation, there's just one work or one ministry. Paul spoke about him, an apostle, being called to the ministry. And under this one ministry, there may be many workers with their ministry or their work, but it's still part of just one ministry, just one work under one revelation. It's a sad thing today that Christian workers want to claim to have their own revelation. I've seen something different from God. God wants us to do this. Then he stands up and says, no, God wants us to do that. Then she stands up over there and says, no, God wants us to do this. But no, there's just one teaching. There's just one revelation. There's just one work in the New Testament. What is that? To build the church with Christ. So that's why in 1 Timothy, Chapter 1, 3, and 4, Paul charged Timothy, stay in Ephesus and charge certain ones not to teach different things. There's just one teaching, one revelation in the New Testament. We're all meant to be doing the one work. What is that? To build the ark. See, there is only one door, one entrance into the ark. This one door is Christ. Okay, D. The ark was made of gopher wood, a kind of cypress, a resinous wood that can withstand the attack of the water. This is a prefigure of the crucified Christ who can withstand the waters of death. Okay, I don't have time to cover this. E. The ark was covered within and without with pitch, a type of the redeeming blood of Christ, which covers God's building within and without. That pitch represents the blood. The pitch was on the outside, so the judgment waters, when they came, they could not touch the ark and those that are in it. Just like with the Passover lamb, when the judgment came and the blood was there on the doorpost, the judgment passed over. God was satisfied. So on the outside, that pitch represents the blood. When God sees the blood applied to us, He is satisfied. He will not bring his righteous judgment upon us. Yet the pitch was not only on the outside, the pitch was on the inside. You know, they were in the ark. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't know if the floodwaters were going to get them. They just saw the pitch. As long as they saw the pitch, they had peace. We're okay. The pitch will keep the water out. We have to learn this lesson, brothers and sisters. See the blood. See the blood. No matter how much you have fallen, no matter how much you have failed, learn to confess, learn to apply the blood, and learn to look at the blood, knowing that that blood has satisfied God's righteous demand on you. And be at peace. Then F, the ark is a type of Christ, not only the individual Christ, but also the corporate Christ, the church, which is the body of Christ. Okay, I'm going to end with one little summary, but in the meantime, can some of you be ready to come to the mic? We can have a good 6-7 minutes for you just to release and to confirm the speaking. We need your speaking at the mic. It confirms the speaking, and sometimes it even completes the speaking. So I'd like to end with this. May we see that we need to be those coming to the Lord, finding grace, being infused with Him, to have faith, that we would have a life and a work to build the ark, to not only save us from God's judgment, but to also separate us from this evil, crooked generation that we live in, and to bring in a new age. Let's give ourselves, brothers and sisters, to build the ark. Amen. Okay, how about now? Some, quickly, just come. Don't think, just come.